Matthew 18:23 said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." And when we look at this, and this king, how he began to reckon, and there come this time when he was going through and looking at all the debts that were owed to him. And he was looking at everything that everybody owed, and what they were owing to him, and what was due unto him. And so they brought this one that owed the 10,000 talents to him, and it was a huge amount. It was so great that this guy was never going to be able to pay it back. He wouldn't have ever in his lifetime had an opportunity to be able to pay this king back. And, you know, there's folks just like that in our lives that, you know, they've done something to you, or maybe they've said something or done something, and in our hearts and in our minds, they can never make that right with us. There's no way they could ever do anything, or they couldn't say anything. There could never be enough that they could make things right and pay back what they had done to us, and to pay back that hurt that they've caused us and that pain that they've put inside of us. And there was nothing that they would ever be able to do that would make things right. Yet this king, when he brought this guy before him, he looked at him, and he had all these talents. He had all this debt that he owed to him. And when he came to this servant, he didn't have any way to pay. He had no way to pay this king back. And so the king ordered that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, to go towards this debt. And it was just a small portion. It wasn't even going to cover the cost. And, you know, even with selling his wife and his children and him and all of his possessions, it wasn't even going to come close to covering the cost of what it was going to be to pay this man back. Christ died on that cross for our sin to cover the whole cost. Nothing we could ever do, nothing we could ever say would be able to pay him back. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough. We can't praise enough. We can't sing enough. We can't preach enough. There's not nothing in this world that we would be able to do that would cause us to be able to earn our way into forgiveness with Jesus Christ. That debt is too great. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. And we don't see how great our debt and our sins really are. But we've got stuff, whether you've only committed one sin in your life, good luck with that. Or whether you commit 100 sins a day, there's nothing in this world that you can do to be able to pay that back. There's nothing in this world that you have that's worth enough to God to be able to pay that back. And yet we try to do it all the time. We try to justify it, and we try to make it right. And yet God says, I'm willing to offer forgiveness if you'll just come to me. You just come to me and I'll forgive you of everything. No questions asked, no concerns, no what ifs, ands, or buts. But if you'll just come to me, I'll forgive you of it all. And this king here, he looks at him, and he commanded that he be sold and everything that he had to be able to pay. But it said the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He fell and bowed down before him, and he was basically begging for mercy. He knew that what he had here, he wasn't ever going to be able to pay back. How many times do we do that very same thing with God? Lord, if you'll just make things right, Lord, if you'll just fix this situation, I promise I'll do this, God. I promise I'll be in church every day for the rest of my life. I promise, God, that I'll never miss. I promise I'll tithe like I'm supposed to. I promise that I'll witness and I'll be just a perfect Christian for you. We make promises that we're not able to pay back. This man was making a promise that he knew good and well to this king. He would never be able to pay him back. He couldn't work his whole life and have enough to be able to pay this king back because of this debt being so great. And yet he fell down before him and he cried out that the king might have patience, that he might have mercy on him so that he could be able to work and try to pay it back to him. You know, there's people out there in our lives that they've done these things, that they have maybe sinned against us, wronged us in whatever way, and yet they look to us for forgiveness. They come to us and ask us that they might be forgiven of whatever it may be. And God commands us we're to forgive these people. This king, when this man came to him and humbled himself down, this king forgave him. He said he had compassion on him. He had compassion on this man and saw that he came to him with a truly broken heart. And that he was truly sorrowful for what he had done, for the debt that he had. But here's the thing, though. It really doesn't matter whether they're truly sorrowful or not. God didn't say if they really seem like they mean it. He didn't tell us if they really seem like they honestly and truly want forgiveness, or if they really, really deserve it. He went, aren't you glad this morning that you don't get what you deserve? This man didn't deserve to be pardoned for the things that he'd done. He didn't deserve for his sins to be forgiven, for the debt to be forgiven from him. And yet, this king had compassion on him. He owed this great debt to the king that he was never going to be able to pay back. And instead of the king trying to get back just anything he could, and the Bible tells us that he had compassion upon him. He had compassion on him. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt. He didn't tell him, as long as you'll come back and pay a little bit here and there, as long as you'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and as long as you'll work and just pay me when you can. See, that's not the conditions that God works on. God says, I'll forgive you of your sin no matter what. If you'll just come to me, if you'll just believe and receive my Son as your Savior. Jesus, when he was on that cross, he didn't say, Father, forgive them as long as they turn from their ways here in a little bit. As long as they see that, you know, they realize that what they're doing to me is wrong, Father, forgive them. As long as they seem like they're sorry for what they're doing to me. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, we tend to hurt each other a lot of times. And when we do things that we don't even pay attention to, we'll say things just on the spur of the moment. We'll do things in the spur of the moment. We can hurt people around us. We can cause those around us to have so much pain and grief and anxiety and heartache. And yet, and sometimes, you know, we need to forgive these people. When these people do these things, us, we owe them forgiveness. You say, but you know what? It's so hard. Think about it this way. What if that one person is just waiting on you? They're looking at you and your life as a Christian. And they know what a Christian's supposed to be like. They know what a Christian's supposed to do. They know how a Christian is supposed to live. And they're looking to you saying, you know what? They're a Christian. And yeah, I messed up and I made a bad mistake. But they're supposed to forgive me. If they would just forgive me, I'd probably go back to church. If they'd just forgive me, I would probably come back and do my best to serve God. If they would just forgive me, I would get back in that Bible and try to see, because I would see then that that's what a Christian truly is. That's someone that truly cares about God. Do you realize that our unwillingness to forgive somebody could mean the difference between heaven and hell to them?
Amen. Blessing, Lord.
Makes a difference. Our unwillingness to forgive someone could mean the difference between heaven and hell, because our unwillingness to be obedient to God could be stopping someone. It could be a stumbling block in keeping someone else from coming to Christ.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, people are going to look at your life, and they're going to pay attention to what you do and to how you live your life and to the things that you've done. This guy thought he had it made because he's been forgiven of his debts. Yet people were watching his life. People were paying attention to him and what he had done. And immediately, this guy, he had just been forgiven of this huge debt that he would never be able to repay. And then he went and he runs and he went out and he found one of his fellow servants that says owed him 100 pence. And really, this 100 pence to what this guy owed to this 10,000 talents, I think the ratio was something like 1 to 1.25 million, if you look at the difference. And so he owed him this 100 pence, and he went and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat
and says, pay me that thou owest. This guy had just been forgiven. He had just been had this huge debt lifted off of him. And he goes and finds somebody that has a debt to him, that owes him. And he puts his hands upon him, puts his hands around his throat, and he says, you're going to give me what I got coming to me. You're going to give me what you owe to me. And when this guy, he doesn't have any way to pay him back, his fellow servant, he said he fell before him and he besought him and said, if you'll just have patience with me, I'll pay thee all. If you'll just wait a little while and you'll show me the same mercy and you'll show me the same grace that that king just showed to you, I promise I'll pay you back. And this, he wouldn't have it. He had him tossed in prison. And God looks at us and says, you know what? You're doing the same thing. You're doing that same thing to those around you. I have forgiven you such a huge debt. I have forgiven you of all your sins. I didn't require anything of you. I didn't ask anything to be given of you. I asked no questions. And I still forgave you because you didn't understand. Because you've made a mistake because of your sin nature and the way that you live your life, the way you were born in this world. And yet we come up with all these different excuses and reasons. But he said, you know what? I forgive you. And he expects us to do the same. But this fellow servant, he didn't do that. He went and found his servant, this fellow servant that owed him 100 pence, and he put his hands upon him. And when wasn't able to pay him, he had him tossed into prison. And the other people, the fellow servants around him, this is what I was talking about, people watch. They saw what was going on. They saw what was taking place. And they went and told the king what had happened. See, the king's always going to find out. Amen. The king's always going to find out and is always going to know what goes on in our lives. We think, you know, he thought he was good. He thought at this point that he'd been forgiven of his sin or of his debt and that he didn't have to worry about anything else. And yet he goes out and does this. How many times do we do that in our own lives? We think that we can just do whatever. We forget the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for us. We forget the debt that God has forgiven us and the sin that God has forgiven us of. And we forget those things and we forget what it felt like when we had that burden lifted from us. And we forget what it felt like to know how that our sins have been forgiven, that we've been set free, and that we don't have to worry and those things aren't going to be held against us anymore. And yet we show an unwillingness to forgive those around us. We show such an unwillingness to reach out to those around us, even though maybe they don't deserve it in our eyes. In our eyes, maybe it was so bad that they don't deserve that forgiveness. But that's not what God has said. That's not what God's asked us to do. We're not to decide whether or not they deserve it or not. As I said, if we really got what we deserved, none of us would end up in heaven. None of us would have salvation offered to us so freely. If we truly got what we deserve, we each and every one would spend an eternity in hell. Because that's exactly what we deserve. Because of our sin nature, because of just the way we are as humans, we can never be good enough. We can never do good enough to be able to stand before a holy and perfect God. And so they brought this man back before the king. And he said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? This guy was unmerciful. He didn't have any mercy upon this guy, upon his fellow servant. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It didn't say as long as you know, you seem like a good person, but blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. If you want it, you've got to live it. Yes, if you want to receive these things from God, you've got to live your life out in such a way that is representative of Christ. Amen. We've got to live our lives according to what God's Word says, and even if that means that it's swallowing our pride and forgiving somebody that we don't think needs that forgiveness, if it means reaching out to somebody that maybe we've never talked to, or they have hurt us so bad that we don't want to see them, or we don't want to look at them. But you know what the Bible commands us? That we reach out to these people. And then we ask for their forgiveness. And then we forgive them in turn. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God
for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He doesn't put stipulations on it. He doesn't put reasons on it, but he says, be kind to one another and be tenderhearted. You know, it's so easy to get aggravated and mad, and we just harden our hearts, and when we come to people so stone-hearted and looking at them, we're so mad, and we want them to receive justice. We want them to receive what they've got coming to them. And yet Christ wants them to receive mercy. God wants them to receive salvation through his Son. God wants them to receive an eternity in heaven. You know, it's amazing. We have such a hard time and a hard ability to look past someone's faults and to look past the sins and the problems and all the things that are going on in their lives. And we sometimes cloud our own view that we don't look past these things. And yet that's exactly what God's done for us. And all the mess and all the brokenness and all the sins and the troubles that we have in our lives, God is able to look past all that. He says, you know what? I still love you. I still care about you. I still want you. I still want to give you salvation. I still want to forgive you of all those debts, of all those sins in your life. I care enough about you. And says the Lord, his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Because if you from your hearts forgive every one their trespasses. You know, our forgiveness has to be real.
Amen.
We can't just say, well, Lord, you know, I forgive him. It's all right. You ever see that happening, you know, especially a lot of times with siblings? They'll get mad and they may get in a fight. Mom or dad says, you know what, go apologize to your brother. Go apologize to your sister. And, all right, I'm sorry. What do you say? I forgive you. And it's, they don't really mean it, but they know they're in trouble if they don't say it. They're still ready to fight. They're still aggravated of whatever brother or sister just did to them. And it's not sincere. It's not real. It's done out of a forced habit. And God's not wanting you to forgive someone out of a forced habit, but he wants us to come to someone with a true and earnest, sincere heart. A heart that's willing to forgive. It's not something that we just do for an outward sign, an outward show.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with everybody else around you. But do you realize that forgiving someone else is also equivalent to our relationship with Christ? It's not necessarily for that person's benefit, although it does benefit them. It's not so that that person can look and say, oh, what a good person you are. And I know I just said that, you know, forgiving somebody can mean the difference between heaven and hell for them. But it's also to make sure that our relationship with Jesus Christ is right.
Amen.
Because God requires that in our life. God wants that in our own lives, in our own relationship with him. That just as he has forgiven others, that we would forgive him, or without, yeah, just as he has forgiven others, that we are forgiven us, that we would forgive others just the same. It's not about the show. It's not about letting people see, oh, look how good I am, although they pay attention to it. But they also can tell a difference between real and fake.
Amen.
They also can tell a difference between a sincere heart and a word of, you know, passive aggressiveness that's just basically saying it because I have to. And so, you know, he wants him, just as he was commanding here, do also unto, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone from his brother their trespasses. This man was tossed back into prison. He was delivered to the tormentors. He paid the price because he didn't see fit to forgive. Church, we'll pay the price if we don't see fit to forgive. If we don't see fit, just as Christ saw fit to forgive us. And if we don't do that, we will pay the price for that. Let me get back over here real quick. If you go back to Luke 23 real quick. Christ from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he went on as the people stood there and they mocked him and made fun of him, and then they made signs and hung up and all that. And we've read and we know what they done to him. But it said in verse 39 said, "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" As we kind of prepare to wind down here, I just want to look at these last few verses, but I want to ask you something this morning. Which side of the cross are you on? Jesus was hanged between these two thieves, between these two criminals. On the one side, he had one of them that was railing on him, that was saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and save us too. If you really are who you say you are, if you really are the man that you claim to be and you're the Son of God and you really are as great as you say you are, then you know what? Get yourself off this cross and you save yourself, and while you're at it, you save us too." How many of us will do that to God? "Lord, get me out of this situation. If you're really as good as you say you are and you really love me as much as you say you do, then God, you need to fix this right now because I just can't stand this anymore. And God, you need to take away all my problems right now. And Lord, you need to fix this and you need to fix that. And my family's broken and we've got trouble and we're having problems. And Lord, if you're as great as you say you are, then show it to me." We want to call God out. And we want to demand that he does all this stuff for us. And yet we don't see where we've gone wrong. This thief is a lot like the rich young ruler. See that rich young ruler, he asked Christ. He said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus went through some commandments. And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up, and what lack I yet?" And Christ told him, said, if you want eternal life, sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. See, he thought just being good was good enough. He didn't see his sin. This thief here on this cross, he didn't see his sin. And many of us have lived our lives that way at one point or another. We don't see our sin. We don't see, we think, "Well, I'm a good person and I've done good and I've tried to keep the commandments and I go to church and I read my Bible and I do good and I do this." But that's not what it's about. It's about forgiveness. It's about coming to Christ with a humble heart and in a humble and a broken and contrite spirit and coming before him and crying out and saying, "Lord, you know what? I know I'm not worthy. I know that nothing I will ever do will be good enough. I've got such a great debt that I'll never be able to pay it. I can work from now till the day I die and I'll never be able to pay you back. But God, what I need now more than anything is forgiveness." See, this thief, he was just calling out to Christ saying, "You know what, if you are who you say you are, then save yourself and us." But the other thief had it right. So he rebuked him and says, "Do you not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss." He said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you understand what you're doing? See, we're getting exactly what we deserve. We're getting exactly what we had coming to us. We deserve to be on this cross and dying. We deserve to be crucified here on this cross before this crowd. We deserve to be mocked. We deserve to be made fun of. We deserve to be humiliated and to have what's coming to us because we've done something worthy of this reward." He said, "But this man here between us, he's not done nothing." Think about that and how much God loved us. He took his son who didn't deserve a thing. He never deserved to go through the things that he did. Even through his ministry, people questioned him. People more or less called him a liar. They didn't think he was who he said he was. They followed him around. They tried to catch him up in lies. They tried to make him look bad at the crucifixion. Even, you know, look at the disciples. They left him. The ones that he chose to go with him left him. One of them betrayed him, turned him over to be crucified. He didn't deserve that. And yet he said, "I love you so much that I'm willing to do that. I love you so much that I know that you can't do nothing
worthy of my grace and salvation. I know there's nothing that you'll ever be able to do to earn your way into heaven. And God said, I've got someone I'm willing to send my son that he might pay that debt for you. I'll forgive you all that debt if you'll just accept it. What a love that is. And as these thieves hung there, he said, you know, we've got what coming to us. And he asked him, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't ask him to let him go back and fix what he'd done wrong. He didn't ask him to let him go back and to make things right and to pay back maybe whoever he stole from or whatever he'd done wrong. He said, Lord, remember me. I know I'm not much and I know I'm not great. Lord, would you remember me? Jesus saith, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. One of them realized that he'd done wrong and that he needed Christ, that he needed something to intervene on his behalf, to intercede on his behalf, that he needed something greater than what he was able to give. The other was just willing to sit and make fun of him even more. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're in need of something. Maybe you're the one that needs that forgiveness this morning. And you sit and say, you know what? I'm not good enough. I've never done enough. I've never done enough to be able to earn that. And I've got so many things that I need to fix. I've got so many things that I need to get out of my life first. I need to make right first. I've been too bad. You don't understand what I've done in my life. There's no way God could forgive the things that I've done. They're horrible. Let me tell you something this morning. Don't give yourself that much credit. You aren't too bad for God to be able to save you. You haven't done too much for God not to be able to forgive you of that. Don't give yourself that much credit. You're not that good. But no matter what it is in your life this morning, you might be sitting there saying, you know what, I'm never asking for forgiveness, Michael. I'm never asking for forgiveness. I'm never receiving my Savior. You know, I've never experienced that kind of forgiveness. I've never experienced that kind of love from God. And I know that I need it. I know that things aren't right. Listen, God's not requiring anything great and mighty of you. He doesn't expect you to pay back that stuff. He just asked that you would come and receive his son. That you would come and just ask for that forgiveness this morning. Maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive. Somebody that somewhere along the way has hurt you. Said something to you or done something to you that you just didn't see how it was forgivable. Don't worry about whether or not it's forgivable. Don't worry about whether or not they deserve that forgiveness. God says they do. God says you deserve that forgiveness. He said, I'm willing to give it to you. If you'll just come as the praise band sings this morning, we stand. I'm going to ask, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never asked him for that forgiveness, you've never experienced God's mercy and grace in your life, let me tell you something. It's like you've never, something like you've never felt before. And we'd invite you to come to this altar and pray. If you're here and there's somebody you need to forgive, maybe you're just not sure how to go about it, come and seek God's advice. Come and seek his face and ask him what the best way to go about it is.